Brother Don Fortner and I have been friends for a lot of years. And I wrote him not long ago. And in my letters, occasionally I slip something in. He'll write and slip something in that he thinks I ought to read, and something I think will be a blessing to him. And I always... I say, one of the old timers said this, and he wrote me back and he said, "I think you are an old timer." "And I think these things you're sending, you're the old timer that wrote them." So, maybe so. He'll never know. But one of the old timers had five questions for those who expressed an interest in knowing Christ and receiving His grace and mercy. This man gave five questions for us. I want you to listen to them. Number one, are my desires for Christ genuine? Are they sincere? One cannot seek Christ with a divided heart. One cannot seek the Christ who said, "You'll seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." So it has to be genuine. It has to be sincere if our interest in Christ is real. Secondly, are my desires for Christ honoring to His great name? He is God. Yes. He is God. And I cannot expect to be saved at the expense of His character. Lord, if You will, You can make me whole. He must be both just and justified. Are my desires honoring to Christ? Thirdly, are my desires for Christ permanent? Or is this interest in Christ a state of passion or emotion or temporary? When Jacob wrestled with the Lord, the conversation was closed when Jacob said this, "I'll never let you go till you bless me. I'm going to be blessed." And the Lord did. Changed His name. The Apostle Paul said this in reference to the permanency of our interest in Christ. "Yea, and I count all things but dung, all things, that I may win Christ and be found in Him." Fourthly, are my desires for Christ, do they lead me to seek Him where He's found? In His blessed Word. That's where He's found. That's where Christ is revealed. That's where Christ is found. James said this, "Of His own will begat He us through the Word of God." The Word of truth. That's where Christ is found. Only in the Word. I can't preach books and pamphlets. I got to preach the Word of God. Amen. If anybody's going to be saved.
Yeah.
Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Peter said, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the Word of God that liveth and abideth." This is it. This is the foundation of faith, the Word of God. And fifthly, will my desires for Christ know no rest until I can cease from my labor and find rest in Him? And never know complete satisfaction until I wake with His likeness. That's what David said. I'll be satisfied when I awake with his likeness. That's where all of this ends. So my subject this morning is, sirs, what must I do to be saved? This question has been asked quite often in the scripture. There was a rich young ruler who came to our Lord and said, good master, I think he kneeled and said, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? The crowd at Pentecost, after they heard Peter preach that great message, summed it up with this: God hath made this same Jesus whom you crucified to be Lord and Christ. And they cried, what shall we do? Men and brethren, what shall we do? Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus, when he was blinded by that great light, brighter than the sun, and the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to him. And then Saul of Tarsus said, Lord, what would you have me do? What would you have me do? And the jailer here in the text the pastor read for us, the Philippian jailer, fell on his knees and cried, what must I do to be saved? Well, I believe I can answer that question for you this morning. But let's answer it with the scriptures.
Yeah.
If you hear someone say, what must I do to be saved? And you reply, there's nothing you can do. Salvation's of the Lord. That's not the answer. That's not the answer. That's not the answer the Lord gave them. Here's the answers the Lord gave when that rich young ruler came to him and kneeled and worshipped him and said, good master, what good thing shall I do to inherit eternal life? Christ said, go sell what you have, give it to the poor, take up your cross and follow me, and you'll have treasure in heaven. He walked away. He had great riches. But he got an answer, didn't he?
Yeah.
At Pentecost, when they cried, when Peter said to them, God hath made this same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ, they all said, brethren, what shall we do? What shall we do? Peter answered. He said, repent. Repent and be baptized. Every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's an answer, isn't it? Some of them did, some of them didn't. And then this jailer said, sir, what must I do to be saved? All right, Paul, here's the time. The man's asked you a question. What must I do to be saved? Paul said, Believe. That's what Abraham did. Abraham, did he believe God? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And then Paul taught him the Word of God. And he believed. So, we've got to give an answer to people who ask these questions. What shall I do? Men and brethren, what can we do? What must I do to be saved? Well, let me say just briefly. I'm not going to spend my time talking about what we can't do. I'm going to try to talk about what we can do. But when we consider what salvation is, it's perfectly clear that there are plenty of things I can't do and you can't do. And here's some. Number one, salvation's a new birth. You can't born yourself. As many as received him, to them gave he the power to become sons of God.
Yeah.
You can't do that, but God can. And secondly, salvation is a resurrection. It's a resurrection from spiritual death. You can't give yourself life. Not the life of God, not the divine nature. You hath he quickened. You hath he quickened.
Yeah.
Who were dead in trespasses and sin. Colossians says, and you being dead in your sins have been quickened together with Christ. I can't do that. You can't do that. Thirdly, salvation's to know God. It's really to know God. Our Lord prayed that great priestly prayer, and He said, this is eternal life. This is eternal life. That they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. Yeah. Can I by searching find God? That's what Job asked. Can a man by searching find out God? Can you find out the Almighty to perfection? It's higher than the heaven. What can you do? What can you know? God has to reveal Himself to me and to you. Somebody else can't do it. You can't do it. And then salvation is to be washed, is to be sanctified, is to be justified by the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. Well, what must I do, we say? You got to answer the question? All right. I'll take a shot at it. What can a sinner do? Number one, he can admit he's a sinner. And that's not a hard, that's not an easy thing to do. Admit you're a sinner. He's got to admit he's a sinner and needs redemption. This is a faithful saying that Jesus Christ came into the world to save what kind of people? Sinners. Paul said, of whom I'm chief. The Lord Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. A man's got to be a sinner or he's not a candidate for salvation.
Amen.
Got to admit he's a sinner. Two men went to the temple to pray. And one of them stood and prayed with himself. God, I just thank you I'm not like other men. I fast, I tithe, I pray. And that man went home condemned. But the other man came, would not so much as lift his eyes to heaven, let alone his hands. He bowed his head and smote on his breast and he cried, oh God, oh God, be merciful to me, the sinner. That man went home justified. That's the first step. Admit who you are and what you are and where you came from. Admit you're a sinner. Face the fact. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. We're born in this world without hope, without help, without God, and without Jesus Christ. Now that's just a fact. Spurgeon, a friend said to him one time, a friend said to Mr. Spurgeon, he said, Mr. Spurgeon, he said, don't you think that the greatest obstacle to our being saved is our sinful self? Spurgeon said, no. The greatest obstacle to our being saved is not our sinful self, it's usually our righteous self. Our righteousness has to be put down. It's got to be dismissed. God saves sinners. He delights to show mercy. Your sins will never keep you from Christ, but your righteousness will. Your sins will never keep you from Christ. He delights to show mercy. He came to save the lost, but your righteousness will keep you from Christ. That's right. The Canaanite woman. I love this story. She came to him on behalf of her daughter, said, Lord, have mercy. He didn't even answer. Our master, who's always so kind and compassionate and tender, he didn't answer. So she asked him again, would you have mercy? He said, I am not sent but to the sheep of the house of Israel, the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
But she wouldn't stop. She said, "Lord, have mercy."
He said, "It's not right to give the children bread to dogs." She's a Gentile. And that's what they call the Gentiles, Gentile dogs. Well, now that run most of us away, wouldn't it? It didn't hurt. He said, "It's not right to give the children bread to dogs." She said, "That's true, Lord. Whatever you say about me is truth. Whatever charge you bring against me is truth. But Lord, I'm your dog. And dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Would you bless some off for me?" The master said, "I've not found faith like that only in Israel. Go your way. Come down." Well, I'm coming down. Not low enough. Come on down. Come on down. Our Lord said to Zacchaeus up the tree, "Zacchaeus, come down." And we've got to come down. Face the fact that we're sinners. Secondly, if a person desires to be saved, what can he do? He can seek the Lord. He can seek the Lord. The Bible does not say men cannot seek God. It says they won't. And they don't. But they ought to.
Yeah.
They ought to. We ought to, everyone in this congregation, unanimously say, "Let us seek the Lord."
Amen.
That's what the scripture says here in Acts 17. Turn one page to Acts 17, verse 24. Listen to this. Acts 17, verse 24. This is Paul's message on Mars Hill. Acts 17, 24. "God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he's Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all breath, life, breath, and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord." That they should seek the Lord. "If haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us, for in him live and move and have our being." Live and move and have our being. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. And you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. There's a lot of illustrations in the Bible about people seeking the Lord. The wise men came from the east. What was their quest? "Where is he that's born King of the Jews? I'm looking for him." The Greeks who came to the disciples said, "Sirs, we would see Jesus." The woman with issue of blood, 12 years, wasted her substance on so many doctors and quacks and healers. She had nothing left. She said, "If I can get to him, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole." Seeking the Lord. The eunuch who'd been to Jerusalem to worship, didn't find anything there. He was coming back, going home, sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah the prophet, and God sent a preacher. And Philip walked along the chariot and said to him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He said, "How can I?" He said, "Some man show me." And he got up in the chariot, and the man says, "Of whom does the prophet speak? Who is this? Who is this?" Is he speaking of himself or some other man? And Philip started preaching Jesus. Oh, truly wise men and women seek the Lord. Where, preacher? Where? In his word.
get acquainted with this.
Amen.
Oh, spend some time in this book. We read everything that Hollywood and newspapers and magazines come down the pipe, and it doesn't do us a bit of good. It just ruins us. You need to read the Word of God. That's where you find Christ. You seek Him when you look in His Word. You'll find Him in the preaching of the gospel.
Yes.
I don't believe, I've been a preacher a long time, and there are not many folks that have been saved without the Word, without the preaching of the Word. The Lord has chosen by the foolishness, not by preaching foolishness, but by the foolishness, what people call foolishness, of preaching.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right. How shall they call on Him in whom they not believe? And how shall they hear without a preacher?
Yeah.
Read the Word. Go hear God's messenger. Somebody said, well, now just climb in his hip pocket and stay there till God reveals Christ to you. And I'll tell you where you find Him. You find Him in His Word. You find Him through the preaching of the gospel, and you find Him where His people meet together in His name.
Amen.
Ruth says, "Don't urge me to leave you. Where you go, I go. Where you lodge, I lodge. Your God be my God. Where you die, that's where I'll die. Where you buried, that's where I'm going to be buried. I'm going to be with the sheep of Christ." That's just old Cornelius gathered the people together and sat down, and Peter came to preach. He said, "Now here we are. Let's see what the Lord's got for us." And God help me, don't let me fail you. Don't let me fail. Be sure I've got something, like you always do. These preachers of grace, they always prepare and study and get something for the people. Feed God's sheep. That's what the Lord said to Peter. "Do you love me?" "Yeah, Lord, you know I love you." "Feed my lambs." "Lord, you know everything. You know I love you." "Well, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep." That's where He's found. In His Word. In the preaching of the Word. Where His people meet. And where the sheep are fed.
Oh,
thirdly, if a person wants to be saved, he can ask God to save him. Pretty simple, isn't it? Ask Him. Our Lord said, "Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock, it'll be open. He that asketh receiveth. He that seeketh findeth. He that knocketh, to him it shall be open." Sitting at my desk one day studying, and a lady walked through the study door. Known her all her life. Notice that she's a little girl. Married her and her husband. And I guess at this time she was 35, 36. She said, "Can I talk to you a few minutes?" I said, "Yes, you can, Jenny." Jenny Morris came in and sat down at the chair. She said, "Brother Man, I've listened to you preach all my life. And I believe what you preach. I know God sent you. And you preach the Word. But I'm not saved. And sometimes the Lord gives me some wisdom. I hope He does. But I, when she said that, she said, I've heard you preach. I believe what you preach, but I'm not saved. The Lord hadn't saved me." I said, "Jenny, have you ever asked Him?" She looked at me so strangely. "No," she said, "I never thought of that." But I said, "Why don't you ask Him?" She said, "That's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to fall on my face and ask God to save me." Blind Bartimaeus did. God bless your heart. He was sitting there in his old robe, you know, and his old blanket, whatever he had on, begging.
gnarled hand and dirty hand and blind all his life, couldn't see, and he was begging, and all this stuff was going on, and he said, what's going on? And somebody said, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. That's all he needed. Jesus! Son of David! Have mercy on me! Somebody said, shut up. He's not interested in you. Be still. Jesus! Ask him. Son of David! Have mercy on me. You know what happened? Our Lord was passing through Jericho. You know what he did? He said, Jesus stood still. He heard the cry of a sinner who needed mercy, who needed grace, who needed help. And he was the only one there that needed it, because he was the only one that was blind. Rest of them wasn't interested, but he was. He was. And you know, I found this over in the book of Joshua. I'll just turn to it. You stay where you are. But in the book of Joshua, the Israelites were fighting this outfit. And they were getting the best of them. But the darkness, the sun's going down. You couldn't fight after dark. They got all these goggles you fellas have in the service. Now you can see it in the dark, but they couldn't. And the Lord spake. Joshua spoke to the Lord. This is what he said. He said, son, stand still. Moon, stand still in the valley of Adullam. And the sun stood still at the voice of a band. And the moon stayed, and the people avenged themselves of their enemies. And this is written in the book of Jasher. So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hasted not to go down for a whole day. And there was no day like it before or after that the Lord hearkened to the voice of a man. But he did hear. He was walking through Jericho, going somewhere, and the voice of a man, a needy man, a sinner man, a blind man, cried out, Jesus, Son of David, and the Son of God. Old Joshua's son still there, but this son stood there. And he commanded him to be called. And the people said, he's calling for you. And boy, he threw that rope, that old blanket, and he tore out in the direction of that voice. And the Lord Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? He said, Lord, that I might see. He said, so be it. You want to be saved? Ask him. But you got to be in the shape that fellow was in. A sinner. Without hope, without God. Who needs God. In the fourth place, if a person wants to be saved, he can be true to the light that God's given him, and God will give him more light. That's exactly. We have the light of nature. That's right. Turn to Romans just a minute. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day we see how that God is everywhere. And here in Romans chapter 1 verse 19. Verse 18 says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, to them, for God showed it to them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Clearly seen. You've got light. Everybody in this town's got light. The light of nature, the light of creation, the light of God Almighty's wisdom and power. These things are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made.
Yeah.
Even God's eternal power and Godhead. So they're without excuse. They're without excuse. The heavens declare the glory of God. The sun, the moon, the stars, everything. The plants, the animals. You plant a seed and it grows up. God makes it grow. Yes, men are so blind to the light of God, the truth. That's light of nature. Then there's light of conscience. Look at Romans chapter 2. Verse 15. Listen to this. Romans 2:15. Verse 14. Romans 2:14. For when the Gentiles, who don't have the law, they don't have the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments, they live without those laws. When they do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law on paper or tablets, they are a law in themselves. What? Which show the law of God written on their hearts. Their conscience also bearing them witness. And their thoughts, the meanwhile, excusing one another. In that day that God will judge the secret of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. If you walk in the light He gives you, you get more light. It's a light of nature, the light of conscience, and there's a light of the Word. Paul said to Timothy, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, that they will make you wise to salvation. I see these little fellas here, and they've got something that a lot of folks don't grow up with. They've got the Word of God. They've got a preacher that preaches the Word. They've got parents that teach them the Word. And Timothy walked in that Word and he got more light.
Yeah.
And a man, listen to me, a man doesn't have to be a theologian to be saved. Abraham's faith in Christ and in God was summed up in three words. Abraham believed God. Abraham believed God. The Lord said to Abraham, get out of your father's house. And he left, not knowing where he was going. But he believed God. He said to Abraham, you're going to have a son. He's 100 years old. He didn't know how, but he believed God. He said, take that son and sacrifice him to me on an altar. He didn't know why, but he believed God. One day our Lord said to a man, take up your bed and walk. He couldn't, but he did. With the command comes the power. When God commands you to do something, do it. Young man came to Brother Barnett. I was sitting there by the desk with Barnett. A young man came in and said, Brother Barnett, can I talk to you? Brother Barnett said, sure you can, son. Sit down. He sat down and said, what can I do for you? He said, Brother Barnum, I want to serve the Lord. I looked at him and said, well, do it. Do it. Our Lord said to the man one time, stretch out your hand. He couldn't, but he did. With the command comes the power. If he says it, if he commands it, you do it. Abraham believed God. He didn't know where. He didn't know how. He didn't know why. He just knew who. I don't need to know where. I don't need to know how. I don't need to know why. Most of the time, I don't have the faintest notion how, why, or where. But I know who. I know who holds tomorrow. And I know He holds my hand. That's right. Fifth place. If a man really desires to be saved, he can look to Christ. Look unto me. Look unto me and be ye saved. All the ends of the earth, I'm God. and there's none else. Look to Christ. Somebody may say, well, I don't see anything. He didn't say see, he said look. Isn't that, that's the difference, isn't it? He didn't say see. Well, I want to see what you... No, I don't want to see. I want to see Him. I look to Him. That's all the proof I need. Him and His Word. Jonah didn't see anything in the belly of the whale. It was dark down there. But Jonah said, Lord, I'm cast out of your sight, yet I will look again. I will look again. Which direction? Didn't matter. He's going to look. But he knew where to look. He said, I'll look towards your holy temple. That's where the mercy seat is. I'll look towards your holy temple. And I say, that's where the forerunner has entered. I will look toward thy holy temple, towards the mercy seat, because that's where you said you would meet us. Take the mercy seat, put the law in it, put the lid on it, and look. Right. Look into Christ. Look into Christ. Faith is looking to Christ and not to my feelings, not to my prayers, not to my professions. Faith is looking to Christ, not to the name I wear or the doctrines I defend. Faith is looking to Christ, not to the law, not to His mother, not even to His disciples or preachers. Faith is looking to Christ, not to my brethren, not even the best of them or the worst of them. Faith is looking to Christ, not to my strength or my weakness, because I've learned when I'm weak, that's when I'm strong. Faith is looking to Christ yesterday, today, tomorrow. It's looking to Him at all times and never stop coming. Never stop looking. I came to Jesus as I was, weary, worn, and sad. I found in Him a resting place, and He's made me glad. I looked to Jesus, and I found in Him my sun, my stars, my sun. And in His light, that light of life, I walked till my traveling days are done. Thank you, Pastor.